The Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour rolls on, and in our last half today, we check in more golf at Dublin, Ohio, Muirfield Village Golf Club. I got to make sure I get these all right. The Muirfield Village Golf Club. It is the Memorial Tournament Jack Nicklaus hosting for the 48th consecutive year. The course was built in 1974 and has hosted a tournament event since 1976. And live on the property is my great friend from PGAtour.com and GolfBet, Ben Everill. Good afternoon, my man. How are you?
Good afternoon, Glass. Yeah, you can hear the buzzing of the agronomy crew as I get ready to get this last-minute stuff in here. I can't believe it's been this long before you've had me on your sensational show. And also, what is Hoosier hash? I've heard of that. Help me out in the happy hour. Maybe I need some.
The happy hour, I know you're very familiar with. Hoosier hash is a take on hash browns and eggs, a little gravy, a little sausage, a little bacon. You put it all in the bowl, and Bob's your uncle. Brunch time here in Bloomington. So when you come visit me eventually, we will go to the Crazy Horse Tavern, sit outside on the street, al fresco style, just like you do in Los Angeles, watch time go by, and have a little bite to eat down there at one of my favorite spots. You are in one of your favorite spots, the Memorial. Your buddy Jason Day, home course advantage this week. We've got all the guys to talk about. And we take a look at it from the gaming side of things as well, with the dollars, with fantasy games, all that fun stuff. And when we talk about Memorial, well, recently there's been two names jumping off the page. That's Patrick Cantlay and John Rahm. I know two guys that you will be following intently when the U.S. Open comes to the Los Angeles Country Club's North Course in 2 weeks. What is your take on Jack's place? It's green. It's lush. It's interesting.
Yeah, mate, it is just in impeccable shape out here. It is beautiful. Everything doesn't look like there's a bit blade of grass out of place. And honestly, like, it just sets up for those guys that you mentioned, which is why I love them. I mean, John Rahm's won here once. Patrick Cantlay's won here twice. But really, it's a win and a half each, because Rahm led by six on one of those Cantlay victories, of course, before being WD'd thanks to the COVID scenario. So, yeah, look, it's going to be a huge week, and looking really good. And amazingly, you know, they're not the favorites. There's a guy in front of them who's been playing pretty well of late.
Well, and I think that's another interesting point, because when Las Vegas, for lack of a better term, or when the books, whatever we want to call it, we know they're all over the place now, their first job is not to expose themselves. And Scottie Scheffler has been on a tear, 14 straight events, T12 or better. Now, here's the cynic in all of us. Well, he's only won twice.
Look, he's just been brilliant, hasn't he? I mean, I think I saw a tweet that if you'd been rolling a bet on him finishing in the top 20 since October last year in stroke play events, you'd be up over $20,000. He's just been absolutely brilliant in pretty much everywhere he went, without winning every week. But look, and he has the game. I mean, this is a tee to green course, you know, the last 11 winners. I think you pointed this out this week, mate, and your brilliant stuff have been inside the top 11 of strokes gained tee to green when they've won here. So the guy who leads on tour this year, none other than Scottie Scheffler. So it's hard to discount him, even though I'm going to.
I have to as well, and I think the advice we're going to give to people is it's not that he's not going to win or incapable of doing so, but you track this with the tournaments we have, and I remember going back to Justin Thomas last year at the PGA. You don't have to start day one, minute one, hopping on. You can find other times of value and hope that Scheffler's greatness works it out, but you don't have to start at plus 400 or 600 or wherever he is to get the week started.
That's 100% right, mate. It's just when the number's that short to start a 72-hole golf tournament against some of the best in the world, it's just not a smart number to jump on that early. And that's not to say, look, he could have a double bogey in one of his first few holes, and all of a sudden, 8, 9, 10, 11, that's when you know that he's a player capable of rebounding. So that's when you might want to jump on. That's when you got to think about it. It's just, there's no real value getting on before the start in case he doesn't stumble. And if he does, sure, he might drop into 300 or something, but you're not really missing out much there, are you?
No, you're not. And that's the tough part of betting favorites in this. Because the favorites at Memorial, that hasn't been a trend since Tiger Woods was in his pomp back in the late aughts.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think gone are the days that you'll get, you know, a Willie McGirt getting things done here. I think we're still going to have some big names most weeks. But even last year, Billy Horschel had a great pedigree, but he was 66-1 leading because he wasn't necessarily playing that well leading in. I think you need a guy who has the game to win here, but also has some gravitas these days. And there are a few of those guys hanging around the 30, 40, 50, 60-1 that you can look at.
I'm going to stay at the top just for a minute because, as you mentioned, 1.5 wins for Rahm and 1.5 wins for Cantlay. Well, Cantlay's first win, he shot 64 on Sunday to run away with it. And then Rahm, as you mentioned, was 65-64 on Friday, Saturday before the test came back. Heck, Cantlay was tied for third last year. He's won twice. Why do those guys play this course so well? I think Jack said it best, and I want you to expound on it. Jack said, hey, look, tee to green is great, but I want you to test every bag on this course, every club in your bag, rather.
Yeah, 100%. You need to have imagination when you miss, too. Like, you know, if you're going to miss the fairways, especially if you miss it big, which can happen in this modern-day golf when guys are really going hard at it, then you're going to have to really think about how you're going to escape. And, you know, you need to then pull off a bit of a miracle, basically. You know, there can be double bogeys around this place, whereas most weeks these guys, you know, without a terrible, terrible swing, they can survive with a par or bogey on almost every hole. Here, danger lurks. And Jack's just made sure that every player is going to have to pull every one of those 14 clubs at some point and do something with it. And it might not be a conventional thing they need to do with it as well.
Pitching out, that's right. 68 hazards, the bunker or sand, 68 bunkers, 13 water penalty areas. Excuse me, I can't say hazard anymore. The bunkers are tough to get out of. 4 inches of bluegrass rough isn't easy. And Jack, who can't sit still, has added a new tee box to 16 and 17, which now makes the course play almost 7,600 yards. I don't know if that's going to help Matt Kuchar any. He's had some great history here, but has struggled a little bit recently. Is it a course where somebody can short game it to death, or are we looking for the power player again this week?
I think you'd need to be absolutely brilliant short game if you're going to do it basically on that regard. You need to have some level of tee to green game going. And as I said, you might not necessarily have had it so far this season. You just have to be able to bring it all day. So a guy that comes to mind for me who over the season hasn't necessarily done great in those stats, but over the last three tournaments he's played has done very well and is inside the sort of the top 15 of players who played in those events. So, you know, you can look, as I said, outside the top if you want to try to find some value, but you're Rahm, Cantlay boys we talked about.
Ben Edervall joining us, PGAtour.com. GolfBet as well. We're breaking down the field at the Memorial. 120 players, the designated field. It's a purse of $20 million. I love Tyrrell Hatton. He's been solid all year long. He's won on a big course before at Bay Hill. Does he have the patience to outlast Jack Nicklaus's design?
Possibly. Look, if you don't get an angry Tyrrell Hatton, you're not getting a good Tyrrell Hatton. I mean, that means he's engaged and he's ready to have a crack. So, I mean, there's definitely been some money, too, coming with most of the books. He's one of the guys that is moving in, and while not getting the most money at most places, he's on the periphery of that. And I think that's because some of the sharps, like yourself, mate, are thinking he does have the game for this place. So, if you're looking for value, I'm not going to talk you out of him.
Yeah, plus 25-1, or plus 2,500, 25-1, whatever, 25/1, all the ways to find him. He has a decent value. Rory McIlroy enters every conversation when he enters a golf tournament. And, if Muirfield Village is perhaps the Augusta of the North, well, we know Rory hasn't had a ton of success, the ultimate success at the Augusta of the South. Well, he hasn't won here either. Where does he rank for you this week? When is it time to saddle up Rory again?
I'm staying off the Rory train until he can convince me that he's back to his best. And look, one of the things I think that people don't always look at, we always look at the analytics, and that's very important. But one of the things we know when we get to be around Rory on tour so much is just the person. And he's clearly a little out of sorts, clearly not at his absolute best. And I think he's got a lot going on away from the course as well. And I think until I get the sense that he is 100% back in his happy place, you know, shout out back to Happy Gilmore. When he gets in that happy place, I think that then we can maybe jump back on board. But look, it's the first time in a couple of years that at a tournament, PGA Tour tournament, he's on the fifth line of betting in some places. And that's sort of, this is the guy that at the start of this year was the favorite for every single major and the players.
And part of that was why, because he won earlier in the season as well, because when he's at his best, he is at his best. But it's not here. He has not won at this track. He is making his, what, 12th, 13th, 14th appearance. He hasn't had a top 10 in his last four. I'm with you. I'm not touching anything that has slick bent grass greens with McIlroy right now. He's going to bounce at some point. And the other part of why we're not picking on McIlroy, but he's not 35-1. There's no inherent value here.
Yeah, he's like 14-1 on the fifth line of betting, and that is just not value for a guy who's not playing at his best. Look, and people say, oh, he was in the top 10 at the PGA's last start. Yeah, but did he really contend?
No.
Not really. In fact, his driver was way below the place. He hit two fairways on the first day, and if he does that here, he won't win. And as you said, he doesn't have a good record at this place. If he was 25, 30-1, yeah, sure, throw something, because you know you never count out a champion, and maybe this will be the week. But until you're seeing a number like that, I would just be like taking the loss at the time he does do that, you know, like just wait and see till he does it. You need to see that smile and that bounce in that great game before you can trust Rory again.
And as we always tell our readers and our listeners, Ben, if Rory wins once, that's not it. There could be more after that. You're not missing out on the only chance to back him. He'll be tuned in for the majors, you hope, moving forward. He'll defend next week his title, different course, though, in Canada. We'll see how that goes. Another player who doesn't play well here, but it's weird, Xander Schauffele, he's made the cut four consecutive years. He's been in the top 18 four consecutive years, but he hasn't hit the top 10 once. Weird.
Yeah, 100%. I actually think it's time for him. Like, I had a rain delay with him here a few years back where we sat in the halfway house, and he was very gung-ho that he thought this was a course that at some point he expects to win at. He's only gotten to be a better golfer over time since then. So I think he's definitely a sneaky chance this week. As you said, top 20 pretty much every time he's been here. So one to watch for sure.
Yeah, he's coming in on 4 out of 5 in the top 10. His only miss was PGA Championship, where he was T21. So we don't have to worry about finding form. I don't think this is a course where you're going to find form. If you're not hitting it well, this isn't going to. I don't think this week's going to whip you into shape. I don't think that's how it's going to be. But there's one player who is very near and dear to your Australian soul. He lives in Columbus. He's going to have another child on the way. He picked up the trophy in Dallas and lives right down the street. Jason Day, shocking to when every year this comes around, he's had one top 10 and two top 25s. That's maybe to the outside world shocking, but Webb Simpson never plays well at Wells Fargo. He lives there. I think it's different this time around for Jason Day. You would know the best. Give me the Jason Day angle this week.
All right, I'll give you the couple of scoops and should have you a little bit wary. One, his caddy is out with an illness, so he's gone back to an older friend that has done it for him before in Ricca. But, you know, it just does upset the apple cart just a little. He also seemed to have a little bit of a twinge in the wrist or hand area today in practice that I was a little concerned about. So something to keep an eye on there. But Jason has always seemed to play better when he has like a ready excuse, if you will. So maybe he's just making those for himself. As far as playing here in the past, look, he hasn't really dealt well with the home ground advantage because a lot's going on with family and friends visiting and all the handshaking he has to do and whatnot. He's not really equipped to do that, but he's matured since then, and that's why his results have gotten a little better over the last few years.
I would have preferred him not winning 3 weeks ago in Dallas to break that drought, because we would have got a better number this week, but he did, and now our number is a little bit in the book or the house's favorite. So speaking of injuries, Jordan Spieth, to tape or not to tape, I'm hurt, I'm not hurt. I thought he would fire at Colonial last week. I got that one just as wrong as you could possibly do. Now he comes out this week and says, no, really, it's fine, I'm great. I'm not touching Jordan Spieth with a 10-foot stick until I see something from him either.
Yeah, look, I was with you. I literally was gung-ho. He was winning last week, and then he missed the cut. So good judge I am. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't think he's hampered by the wrist. I think that I've watched him practicing today, no tape. I watched him go hard at it, not an issue. So I think anything that excuse is worn thin, that excuse is done. And he's, but the problem is, as we said with other guys here, he's got to keep it on the map. If he's not on the map here, goodbye.
And if he keeps it anywhere near, that short game can bail him out. But really, it's been his ball striking has been the – he can't make any putts. Speaking of guys that can't putt, last one I'll throw out there for you because he ran second to Cantlay in 2021 when Rahm had to leave. Colin Morikawa, he just seems to excel on interesting courses. He was 10th this year at Augusta. But, boy, when I watch him putt, I get nervous.
Oh, mate, there's a few times where you almost throw up inside your own mouth, don't you, when you see what he does. And he pulls that thing back and pulls the trigger. Look, but it's funny because, again, if you want to talk him being out in that 25-1 range, et cetera, he's starting to get a little bit of action leading into this. So whether people are watching him practice, whether they think that's just a course that he can eventually take down. Now, look, he did well in the event that was here prior to the Memorial at the same course a few years ago.
Yeah, the Workday.
Workday, but that was set up completely different to they do to this tournament.
Very
that
important.
That was made much easier. It didn't have the hard and fast greens. It had easier pin locations, etc. So I take that with a bit of a grain of salt. At the same time, he is one of the guys, as I said, with the game to play. If he pulls his best game, he is suited to this course.
The one thing I always get nervous when his fade doesn't fade and he's looking for it, and it's usually the week I'm on him. That's how that works itself out. Ben Everill, PGAtour.com. Golf Bet, the insider for golf. Whether you and Bolton do a great job. I had Rob on a couple weeks ago. And Victor Hovland's another interesting name, but I feel with everybody has warts, and it's so hard to win. There's not one profile here that seems to take over who's going to win here. But Hovland is great tee to green, but when he misses the green, he's like Morikawa putting. You just want to look the other direction.
Yeah, look, I will say this. A year ago, he lost over 2 strokes per round around the green here, and that was his downfall. But since then, and in the last sort of 6 events, he's slowly starting to do much better in the strokes gained around the green category. He has been working really hard on it. I love him for next week because of that work he's been doing. Sorry, not that I'm in the US Open.
Right.
I think that potentially he can be in the mix there. So in that regard, I'm hoping he sort of doesn't play that well this week, because if he plays well this week, he'll be too low of odds there.
No, I agree with you. I agree, and here's why I agree. Because when There are different conditions. This is not, quote-unquote, a U.S. Open, but the greens are slick. We know his putting is better, a lot better. In some of those other events he's played, he's not dealing with perhaps championship rough, and he's dialed it up. He's top 10 Masters, top 10 PGA, right? So that's where his attention looks to be, and he's never won in the continental United States. How odd is that?
That is crazy, crazy for someone as talented as he is. And look, I'm a little biased for him too, because he has a pretty cool Australian caddy, a friend of mine in Shay Knight. And Shay is telling me today that, yeah, he's once again trying to get himself and his head right. Really, he wants to play well this week, but again, focus is pushing forward to Los Angeles Country Club. He felt he let one get away there at the PGA, and he wants to get back on the horse real quick.
Well, we're going to let you get on your horse and ride off into your afternoon sunset, man. Thank you so much for your time. You can find Ben's stuff at pjtour.com/golfbet, pjtour.com, at Ben Everill Golf Bet as well. I hope to see you soon, buddy. Have a great week. Stay cool, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, mate, thanks for having me on, and look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Who's your hash? That's our code word. Ben Everill from PGAtour.com. So we get the golf covered for you as we do each week, and we appreciate Ben being with us. Being with us this afternoon, he is going to be hot. He lives in Los Angeles. You can tell by the great accent. He is Australian as well. But L.A., it's not going to feel like L.A. in Columbus this week.